Down with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Teabaggers of the world, unite! You have nothing to lose but your strings. Teabaggers, get out your rusty trombones and blow a proud note for freedom. Oh, it is a teabagging kind of day, isn't it? Yeah, you and I, these are the most clueless people. They don't. You know, it's another one of those Inigo Montoya moments. I don't think that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. There's a teabagging protest tomorrow in Beckley. I'm strongly inclined to go and see what happens. Take a little video, take a little audio, take a little still photography. Maybe take the fam-damily. And just go see what a bunch of right-winging West Virginia teabaggers looks like. Maybe. So, I mean, do you realize how loopy these people have gotten? You know how they want to save money? You know how they're objecting to the spending of money on the infrastructure and all of that sort of all that stuff that is so 1933, so right wing? Well, guess what? It turns out this teabagging is actually costing us money. Because you see, these right wingers, they're all so proud of themselves. They're taking them a tea bag and they're dropping it in their, an envelope and they're marking it and they're addressing it to their congress critter, and they're sending it off. And these lumpy little white envelopes keep showing up in congressional offices where people, I remarked on this a little bit earlier. Washington D.C. takes an attitude toward terrorism that, we out here in the hinterlands might not necessarily do. Because they got a bullseye on them in Washington, D.C. I mean, really, this is everyday life in Washington, D.C.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. George W. Bush, Maximum Decider.
We keep the evildoers down at Gitmo because they're dangerous. Terrorists learn better when they got panties on their heads and stripes on their backs like the grill marks on a ribeye. If we don't do that, they'll kill you. Because they hate your mama, and they hate your Bible like they hate your friends. Fear. It's what's for dinner.
And there has been a culture of fear. Pardon the datedness of that bit, but it just seemed appropriate. Because George Bush will go down in history as the Maximum Decider. But anyway, there is a fearful culture in Washington, D.C., not just because of some 6-foot-7-inch Arab with a portable dialysis machine living in a cave somewhere in the frontier provinces of Pakistan, but because of right-wing killers, interestingly enough, about whom a report was issued today that, by the way, has the right wing all a titter. Now, don't be going there. There's a big difference between tittering and teabagging, okay? There just is. But right-wingers mailed anthrax around, killed a few people, tried to kill others. And so when lumpy little white envelopes show up in congressional offices, they get a little nervous. A spokesman for the U.S. Postal Service by the name of Brian Sperry has told the Salt Lake Tribune that teabags in the mail cause us some concern. They could pose a problem if a teabag is mailed in a regular envelope instead of a padded bag. The notoriously right-wing Chicago Tribune is reporting that in Boulder, Colorado, the district office of U.S. Representative Jared Polis recently called for help after a lumpy white envelope with no return address. Oh, those are some brave teabaggers. Arrived in the mail. That meant that the Boulder County Hazardous Materials Response Team had to come out, which costs man-hours, person-hours, which costs fuel, which costs, what's the word I'm looking for here, taxpayer dollars. So the Boulder County Hazardous Materials Response Team comes and finds a teabag and a note reading, "We the People, 1773. Zip over to Manchester, New Hampshire, where U.S. Representative Carol Shea Porter was visited in her office was visited by a hazmat team after employees opened an envelope marked tax protest and found a bunch of tea leaves. Right-wingers are killers! And they're making a lot of people really nervous. Then there's Representative George Radanovich in Modesto, California. His entire office was evacuated after an intern in the mailroom found a suspicious package that was later found to contain tea. The congressman's office, two mortgage firms, others, about 20 people in total were evacuated as a precaution. And the envelope held a granular substance. Then the Stanislaus County Hazardous Materials Response Team went into the office. Anybody guessing what the bar tab is on all of this? So just to recap, fiscal conservatives are out there burning up taxpayer dollars, trying to terrify staffers for elected representatives. Are we clear on this? Yeah, there's a report out there. I was going through my email earlier today, and I saw an email from our pal Cindy, up in the great Northwest. Later, I got it from News Ninja Susan as well, also in the great Northwest. I think time must operate differently up there. They're Johnny on the spot with some kind of with this kind of stuff. And what it was a link to the report that was released today on right-wing extremist activity to date, the unclassified report. None of this be afraid, be very afraid kind of stuff. Just straight up reporting. This product is one of a series of intelligence assessments published by the Extremism and Radicalization Branch to facilitate a greater understanding of the phenomenon of violent radicalization in the United States. The information is provided to federal, state, local, and tribal counterterrorism and law enforcement officials so they may effectively deter, prevent, preempt, or respond to terrorist attacks against the United States. Federal efforts to influence domestic public opinion must be conducted in an overt and transparent manner, clearly identifying United States government sponsorship. And it turns out that the link that Cindy sent to me was from RogerHedgecock.com. Now, for those of you not keeping score at home, Roger Hedgecock is Flush Flemball's go-to guy whenever Flush has to dart down to the Dominican Republic to get him some little boy love aboard with his, bottle of ill-gotten Viagra. Roger Hedgecock. So I wrote back and said, wow, thanks for this. Look it. If it's on Roger Hedgecock's site, it's because they're having a hissy about this report being issued. One of you tailoring types who's really good at this kind of thing, do me a favor. Purple robe, preferably tattered, maybe like a velvet with like lots of the velvet worn off and some sort of dangling moons and stars on it and stuff like an alchemist might wear. Email me, I'll send you the measurements. Because I'm getting a little bit creeped out by this. A few hours ago I said, well, it's on right-wing websites because the right-wingers are getting ready to have a hissy. Boom! Michelle Malkin. Of course, she's having a hissy. Let's see. Michelle Malkin writes of this report that has come out today talking about right-wing extremism in the United States, of which there is plenty. And she's even thrown away any pretense at writing something, well, sane isn't exactly Michelle's long suit now, is it? She writes, now bear in mind, okay, before I read you this, the whole report, not once in the whole report does the word conservative, it's available as a PDF document, you can do the global search on it, not once does the word conservative appear in this report, not once. So what does Michelle Malkin write?
By contrast, the piece of crap report issued on April 7th is a sweeping indictment of conservatives, and the intent is clear. As the two spokespeople I talked with on the phone today made clear, they both pinpointed the recent economic downturn and the general state of the economy for stoking right-wing extremism. One of the spokespeople said he was told that the report had been in the works for a year. My BS detector went off the chart. And yours will, too, if you read through the entire report, which asserts with no evidence that an unquantified resurgence in right-wing extremist recruitment and radicalization's activity is due to home foreclosures, job losses, and the historical presidential election.
Well, if there's any BS meter to be employed here, Ms. Malkin, it is ours with regard to you. There was no sweeping indictment of conservatives.
The document isn't even an indictment. It's a report. Michelle, honey, memo.
Indictments are legal documents that are generated by a grand jury and are either served via summons or served via warrant upon the offending party. With very little exception, there is no such thing as a group indictment, as in a sweeping indictment of conservatives.
Doesn't exist. Michelle, honey, you're making stuff up again. You just are. And, you know, Jesus doesn't like that, making stuff up. That's called, Michelle, lying. So stop, please, or I'll have to say stop again. Because, you know, I'm a liberal and I'm peaceful and
At no point in time have I ever poured liquid on anybody and said that I was Barack Obama pouring gasoline on the American people like that Fruit Loop Glenn Beck did. Oh, this is good. Yeah, Malkin goes on, and thanks for the breakdown to David Nywert over via Crooks and Liars. Malkin gets her maiden forms all in a twist, claiming that the report indulges in anti-military bigotry by saying that veterans who've been radicalized or are already right-wing extremists are a particular threat. This is a problem because back when recruiting was at an all-time low, when George Bush was having trouble getting people to join his military, the standards were relaxed to the point that convicted felons, sex offenders, and yes, petty right-wing right-wing thugs were allowed in. You know, two arms, two legs, head, whether it has brain in it or not, that got you through the door at the recruiters. So that's where we start this evening. This report, if you go and read it, and there, you can access it quite easily over at thinkprogress.org. DHS report, after Obama's election, right-wing extremists may be gaining new recruits. Anti-immigration, recruiting returning vets, gun-related violence. Yeah, you know, I mean, and I haven't read the whole thing yet, full disclosure. I've read some of it, not all of it. I haven't gotten to, I haven't seen if there's any mention of Mr. Edkisson in East Tennessee last July. And his polemic against the people he considered are killing America, you know, liberals. I haven't seen it yet, so we'll find out. We'll find out as I go through it. If you go through and you find it first, send it to me, and I don't know. I'll make a funny sound with my mouth or something on that. Ding 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 ding. Yeah, whatever. Because we are kind of well. Can't quite afford to send you any really cool stuff yet. So there you go. But it's real. I've been telling you it's real. You've been telling me it's real. News Ninja Susan's note to me with the link said, the subject line just said, they're coming for us. And they are. And we know it. And it is scary. And the response is not necessarily to gun up. The response is to wake up. The response is to have enough courage to talk about your convictions in public. I was scanning the usual newspapers today, and I saw a story over at Truthout. The article, the original, was from The Guardian of the UK. The dateline was Kabul. And this, it was the story of Sitara Achakzai, a woman of some 52 years. She had been in Afghan exile in Germany during the Taliban's reign of terror. But she came home to try to make things better. She went to her provincial council meeting of which she was secretary and left in a rickshaw, at which point religious fanatics, you know, another group of those people who think God are talking to them. God's God is our whatever. Came and blew her away for having the unmitigated temerity of being female and appearing in public and trying to make her country a better place. A friend of hers begged her not to attend the meeting, whereat she was murdered. She went anyway, because she understood the profound price of silence. Silence, you see, has a price that is borne not necessarily by the person who is silent, but by others, many, many others. And she refused to be silent. And it cost her her life. It will not cost you your life to be silent. The odds are very long against.
What your silence may cost you, however, is your country. And that is a price too high to pay, in my honest opinion, with silence. 20 minutes past the hour, and let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Robert.
Hey, Brother Luke.
Well, I'm just wondering, what do you think we're going to see tomorrow on the AstroTurf teabagging?
You know, I'm seriously considering going over and seeing for myself. I mean, it's not going to be a great big one.
I don't know.
But the one in Beckley should be interesting. I would imagine we'll see some coal activists there as well. I found it interesting. I had a brief conversation with Mark Levine earlier, and he was telling me that up where he lives around D.C., they're robocalling to gin people up for these teabagging affairs.
Well, I'm just wondering if on some of the national ones, big ones, if Russia and the others are going to have some of their people dressed up as hippies and such who will come up and try to break up the meeting.
Well, you see, they've been warning that for quite some time now. Now, you and I, we both see our fair share of the liberal side of the inner tubes, and I haven't seen any calls to go and break up their little teabagging affairs.
No, no, but.
But I've seen them talking about how they're just sure it's going to happen. So,
yeah.
Look, if they if they can afford robocalling, they can afford agent provocateurs. You know, that's just a matter of a couple of tie-dyed T-shirts, a little bottle of patchouli, and maybe a pair or two of Birkenstocks.
Had a couple. You know how it is. It's sort of like their group that appeared. Remember the group that appeared in front of the Miami-Dade County group?
Yeah, or the agent provocateurs at the summit in Canada a couple of summers back that it turned out were actually Quebecois state police.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm just wondering if tomorrow, if anybody goes to these, I would not go too deep into them. I would sit back out on the fringes. And just keep an eye on where people are coming from and what they are doing, because I will bet you that somewhere in this group we will see some people who will be up there to disrupt it. And if we follow them back, I'm sure they'll be put into a van where they can go over and change clothes so no one will recognize them.
I wouldn't be surprised in the least. I think your instincts are good on this, Luke.
So it's one of those things. If anybody's going to go to some of the national ones, I'd be caring. If you take your camera, I'd set it at a distance. Not get too close.
That's what the zoom lens is for.
Yep. And just try and watch around the edges to see what's going to happen. Well, I saw the thing on the internets where we saw that Mr. Beck is not going to be the center of the one he's going to, apparently, which I'm wondering about that, because I'm sure he'll be drug up on stage to talk.
I'm sure it will be most reluctantly.
Oh, yes. But, you know, I mean, it's just interesting. I was sitting here looking at the thing over Media Matters where they were talking about it, you know, talking about how the other people are covered. I'm just curious if the people from MSNBC or CNN are going to show up, because I tell you what, that's going to be like waving a red flag at some of these nuts.
Oh, yeah, especially in some of the places that have been really whipped into a frenzy.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm wondering about. Where was the one? It was one of these things in here. Oh, the emerging culture of paranoia that Media Matters had.
Yeah, I saw that. You sent very interesting.
Well, the thing of it was just how many stories, and you're sitting there going, we're not 11 weeks into the Obama presidency?
I know. What was it John Stewart said a few nights ago? Guys, pace your outrage.
Yeah. You know, it's like we said, you know, big protest. Against Bush didn't start for better than a year and a half into his first term. You know what I mean? I mean, there was the average, you know, opposition, you know, the senators and all that good stuff. But, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of really screaming about W for, you know, after the selection and all that.
Well, that's what points up how phony most of these things are.
Well, you know, it's like we said, you know, it's one of these things. What are they calling it? Obama derangement syndrome.
And that's about the scope of what it is.
Oh.
I mean, did you see the I was over at Crooks and Liars earlier. Did you see the video that the guy shot in Cleveland?
No, which one was that?
Well, it's a few. It's a few posts down the page now. But let me see if I can get to it. Yeah, there it is. The white man's protest. And so, you know, this is somebody who was just going around asking people, do you think Obama was born in the United States?
I don't know. I haven't personally seen his birth certificate.
So, you know, I'm wondering, Luke, if these angry people in Cleveland, you know, they're really steamed up about all this. I wonder if it's fair to refer to them as Cleveland Steamers.
Well, if they want to be called teabaggers, they might as well go Steamers. You know how it
is. Yeah, you gotta blow your own rusty trombone on this one.
I know. You just gotta sit there and just gotta wonder, you know, who thought this idea up and used that name? And you know, somebody in the RNC call them up, go, you numbskull, you.
Well, no, see, they're not talking to the log cabin Republicans anymore. So the one group that could probably have clued them in, they ain't happening. Oh, I mean, what? Michael Steele? Did I see the story yesterday? Michael Steele's not even going to attend their meeting.
No. I saw that today. It's like, yeah, that's it. You know, it's like you keep crying. You want to be a kinder, gentler RNC. Go talk to them. It ain't like you're joining up. Dear God.
Well, but you got to remember, they're members of a political party, Luke, that thinks you can catch the gay from a toilet seat. I mean, look what happened to poor Larry Craig, good upstanding right wing Christian. All he did was go to the men's restroom in Minneapolis, and he came out with a bad case of the gay.
Just tapping that foot away. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Oh, did you get, just off topic, did you get to look at that video I sent you?
No, I didn't. I couldn't, for some reason, I couldn't get it to load.
Okay. Well, sometimes you get, if you get a chance, try some other, well, I'll see if I send you another one.
Okay.
It is enjoyable. It's like, you know, we say, we have a slight nut for a basketball coach, but he's a good nut. We like him.
Oh, well, yeah, you do.
I mean, you got to like a guy who paints his belly orange and goes down there with his staff and at one of the women's games.
Well, that's the, you know, I always respected him for the respect that he accorded Pat Summitt.
Oh, he did? And I mean, you know, it's like I say, you can tell this is something he just gets into it. But like I say, I'm probably going to end up watching probably the MSNBC tonight and probably tomorrow night. Just see how they cover this. You know what I mean? Oh, you saw the thing where poor old Coleman, he's so far down that even Scarborough apparently dropped the hammer on him this morning. You know, where they had the court ruling for Franken?
Yeah.
Scarborough on his morning show essentially said, give it up.
Yeah, everybody's saying give it up except for Tim Pawlenty and the Republican National Committee and Chinless Mitch McConnell and, you know, John Cornyn, that crowd.
Well, you know,
because they simply don't want Minnesota to have its full contingent of representation.
Well, the thing of it is, you know, it's like you got to be sitting there going, Norm, do you want to have another job somewhere in the government? Because most of the people in the state right now are looking at you and laughing. You know, and that number's growing each day. And it's like if you wanted to get out of this and run in, a few years for the next seat coming open, you've kind of took that idea and shot holes in it, and you're trying to float on a raft with a whole bunch of holes blown in it.
Yeah, right.
So I mean, he's pretty well shot his wad, burned the bridges. So he better pray that he's got a job with somebody in the RNC, because I don't think he's going to get a job in Minnesota.
Well, you know, but there are so many think tanks. Somebody will find room for him. You know, a good old ex-hippie, dope-smoking, right-wing, conservative Republican senator, there's always work for those. Have you ever seen the old, like, college photo of Norm Coleman that Bart Kopp runs?
Oh, yeah. With the long hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that over at Bart.
I don't know where he finds those, but, you know, what a cherished resource Bart is.
Some of the things he comes up with, you're just kind of sitting there going, dang, where did this come from, and can I get a copy?
And some things are, you know, then there are things like the Laura Schlesinger photos and those. You know,
that's
one of those what has been seen cannot be unseen kind of things, and my sleep is still tormented.
Kind of, well, If I ever have I-30, I'm going to tell them, if you find that image on my eye, just scrape it off.
Yeah, just into the medical waste bin. Bury it at midnight or something.
Well, bud, it's bottom of the hour. I'm going to let you get on talking.
All right. Take care, Luke. Talk to you soon.
Have a good evening.
Bye now. And onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
I didn't know if that's my phone beeping or not. We've had some bad weather, really bad weather here today. So.
Oh, is your battery dying again?
Well, it went off, you know, with the weather and all.
Yeah, I hear it beeping now.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll just say the main thing I was calling about was there's two things that I don't know. I've just got this little idea, but maybe somebody's already done it. But guy had he had a little thingy. How do you call it? You don't call it speech? Opinion?
Bit. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard him or not.
Keep going before we lose your battery.
Yeah. And anyway, it was about the difference between liberals and conservatives.
Okay.
And it was so, I call it Lincoln-esque. It was so pure and so simplistic and so beautiful. And I was wondering if there's any way you can make something like that on, you know, the U page.
Mm-hmm.
I'm YouTube. Not saying that right, but anyway, yeah. I'll shut up about that. Then I'll just say one more thing, if I can. And another one is, Rick Goodner, I think it was about a week ago, he explained the difference between liberals and progressives. And that was another one, just absolutely amazing. It just made me just understand it. You know, it just was so great. And I hope I'm a liberal, I hope.
I think you are, Juanita.
I say I'm a liberal.
I am, too. And you only get a few beep warnings on a cordless phone that's going dead. Hopefully, Juanita, you will put your cordless phone on the charger, let it get a little life in it, and we'll try to get a little more conversation in later on. It's about 28 minutes before the hour. Jump right in if you want to engage in the conversation. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Locally, if you don't want to use our toll-free number, if you've got some sort of unlimited long-distance dialing plan, you know how easy it is, 304-658-3333. Honest to God, we've never lost a caller yet, so jump right in. And email rolls into Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, BobKincaid@gmail.com. Go on over to the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room. It's free, it's easy, and you're welcome there to join in the rowdy little crowd that's handy that's on hand most every evening. Jump in, look. I'm monitoring it through the course of the program. The conversation is fine. So, you know, all kinds of ways to interact with the program, to interact with the network, in and out of live program hours. Our pal Kate notes, does anyone understand the use of teabagging? It's such an old queer expression. Scrotum inserted in partner's mouth, especially while he's asleep. They are such fools, these protest people. And she adds, oh, I guess it might be common knowledge amongst some. But see, that's the problem with the right wing. They're so insular. They're so clannish. They don't want anything to do with anybody who could tell them anything about life in the 21st century. Question in the chat room. What's all this Tea Party stuff about? Basically, it is a right, and I feel it's another one of those moments where I feel a little bit guilty even discussing it because I feel like I'm giving them free PR, but I'm not worried about it with you guys. Basically, it is an astroturf movement. In other words, it looks like grassroots, but it's not. It is created, conceptualized, by right-wing PR firms in Washington, D.C. and Chicago, Illinois, designed to be, it is cloaked in the ostensible resistance to runaway spending. But it's about Obama. This is about right-wingers trying to hang on to what little relevance they have left and screaming about the idea. We're putting our great-grandchildren in debt, trillions of dollars of debt. Which I complained about 7 years ago. 7 years ago. Started complaining about on the air. Quick math. Yeah, 6 years ago. 6 years ago in May. And for talking about the fact that George W. Bush, with his little off-the-books wars, with his ripoff of the Treasury, with the runaway deregulation of energy and his pals at places like Enron, was at the time it was calculated that George Bush had personally accounted for about a $5,000 debt hanging around the neck of every newborn in the United States. When I pointed that out, right-wingers told me that I didn't love America. They told me that I was a friend of Saddam. Right-wingers told me that I should go somewhere else if I wasn't happy here. And yet now, suddenly, they're the ones who are concerned. And, you know, it's caused me no small amount of navel-gazing. Being a liberal, I navel-gaze. Last few years, there's a lot more of me, so there's a lot more navel to gaze at, frankly. I'm working on it. But I wonder if maybe we liberals are responsible for this indirectly. Now, before you get upset with me, I've asked myself, you know, look, if we hadn't been so vocal in our criticism of George Bush, would these people have been so willing to create this this phony movement where the movements that I was aware of against the war, against the tax cuts for the rich, did seem to have real grassroots? And I've asked myself, you know, did we help make this happen? Are we the ones who polarized this nation? And I can't. And I've thought about it a lot. And I don't think we were. We weren't the ones who attacked Bill Clinton for 8 long years over things that had absolutely nothing to do with governance. We were not the ones who created a phony riot outside a vote counting room in South Florida. We didn't burn Dixie Chicks records. We didn't demand full-scale war against a country that had not raised a finger against us and challenge the patriotism and civic-mindedness of anyone who did not support it. We did not do any of those things. We didn't, on George Bush's inauguration, declare, to the extent that there was anyone doing liberal radio at George Bush's inauguration, I think Malloy was on the air, Hartman was on the air, perhaps. Neither of those two gentlemen said, "I hope he fails. I don't need 400 words. I need 4. I hope he fails." They didn't do that. I never said that I hoped George W. Bush failed during his presidency once I was behind a microphone. I knew he would, because those who start wars seldom end them well. And that's just a historic precedent, which is rather unavoidable. Now, pay no attention to the banging in the background there. There's a little construction going on outside the studio right now. I don't know, and you tell me, what is your answer to this polarized America? I don't think it's as polarized as some of the media, for-profit media reports would indicate. Your teabaggers are actually a fairly minuscule the minority. But they are vocal. And their goal, well, I've told you in the past what I think their goal is. They want to see Barack Obama out of the White House. And what's the phrase? By any means necessary. The report released today backs that up. Our buddy Marty writes in and says, obviously, you failed to mention the punditry amongst other Repiglicans who are quoted as saying, Ronald Reagan taught us deficits don't matter. See how good their memory is? Yeah, because they're having a hissy about a deficit now when they argued all along that deficits had become irrelevant in the modern era. Now, I don't know about anywhere else, but the teabagging in Beckley, West Virginia is going from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I assume that that's the general scope of it across the country, so that as time progresses, the teabagging will continue all the way from the Atlantic coast to the Pacific coast, and that way Fox can have round the clock team coverage. Because more than anything else, this has become a creature, Fox News, to the extent that there really had to be anything along those lines. Fox News allowed itself to be co-opted to the point that I think it even got embarrassing for some of their hosts. Stuart Varney, who used to be at CNN and was one of their business correspondents, was filling in for Neil Cavuto. And announced yesterday when he went on the air, it's now my great duty to promote the tea parties. Here we go. When you're saying stuff like that, you've admitted that you've quit covering the news and started trying to be the news. My favorite tea party comment by far, though, has to have come at this point from David Schuster, who, filling in for Keith Olbermann and commenting, as I have, on the fact that Fox News has become a maker of news as opposed to a coverer of it, said the following. The people who came up with it are a familiar circle of Republicans, including former House Speaker Newt Gingrich and former House Majority Leader Dick Armey, both of whom have firm support from right-wing financiers and lobbyists. Oh, there's one of those phrases that just drives me nuts. Firm support from financiers and lobbyists. Of course, when you're teabagging, I guess you want your support to be firm. But anyway, both of whom have firm support from right-wing financiers and lobbyists. Schuster continued after an ellipsis. We can only speculate why widespread teabagging made Cavuto think of the Million Man March. And by the way, Neil Cavuto claimed that Fox was fair and balanced because Fox, he claimed, covered the Million Man March back in 1995. don't anybody tell Neil Cavuto. But Fox News didn't go on the air until 1996. The Million Man March was in, you know, 1995. Little math problem, but hey, who's counting? So Schuster goes on and says, we can only speculate why widespread teabagging made Cavuto think of the Million Man March, unless he got them confused with Dick Armey. And in Cavuto's defense, if you are planning simultaneous teabagging all around the country, you're going to need a Dick Armey. I have a feeling this whole, the standards and practices people at the networks are just saying, you know, dear God, please, let us get past this issue without major FCC fineage. Because that's really close to the line. And maybe we'll find something besides teabagging to talk about tonight. Wow, do I hope that we do. Juanita followed up her call with an email. She said, we liberals are so blessed with the likes of Guy James, Rick Goodner, Yoo-hoo too, meaning me, and et cetera. I've heard so many ideations from our side that should not be lost on history. Maybe there should be a book, perhaps YouTubes with clever animation and music to attract those that might think these are boring. Of course, they're not. I don't know how far I can go with it, considering copyrights, but I believe I could do something with the help of my son. These just do not need to be spoken once and then forgotten. We are so blessed, aren't we? Yes, the right-wingers only consider tearing down, as in that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. How true. How true. And, you know, we're doing a little bit of that. Sue has done magnificent video work and is continuing. And more of that will follow. And there, of course, lots more stories to hit this evening. Interesting news from Postville, Iowa. Interesting news from the labor movement. Plenty of stuff to work with. So we'll take a little break here at about 12 before the hour. Coming up, our buddy Brad Friedman and his brand spanking new Green News Report. We ran it first this past Thursday, and I thought I really liked it. I hope you do, too. So we'll take a little break, and we'll come back with the top of the second hour after the Green News Report. In the meantime, light up the phones if you want to. There is an abundance to talk about, as I've noted. You're listening to America's listener-supported Liberal Voice. You're listening to Activist Radio. You're listening to The Horn.
Ways to lose. This is Friday. Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, April 14, 2009.
Another FDA smackdown. Oh, that new home smell. Would you like fries with your pesticide? Plus, the cardboard box that could save the world and the Utah college student who already did.
I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And welcome aboard, listeners, at Bob Kincaid's Head on Radio Network. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this is your Green News Report, where every day is Earth Day. Okay, lots to get to. Every day, you are Earth Girl. What do you have Desi doing?
The Food and Drug Administration got another smackdown, this time from a new report out of the Centers for Disease Control. The CDC says that the FDA fell backwards over the last 3 years of the Bush administration after decades of progress in protecting the nation's food supply due to lack of funding oversight and the shift to industrial mass food production and distribution.
Wow, who could have predicted that?
Yes, they say the whole system needs an overhaul. The FDA is also under fire for declaring last year that a chemical widely used in plastics was safe. BPA, also known as bisphenol A, is an endocrine disruptor that mimics estrogen and affects brain and reproductive development in fetuses and babies. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported over the weekend that an international consortium of scientists has called the FDA's evidence, quote, incomplete and unreliable. Two studies the FDA used to declare BPA safe were paid for by a plastics industry group, and now Canada on Saturday says they are going to announce a total ban on BPA in baby bottles. Thousands of newly constructed homes in Florida and throughout the Southeast smell like rotten eggs. And their new owners are blaming imported drywall from China. According to the Associated Press, the housing boom led to an influx of the cheaper Chinese imported drywall. And the homeowners now believe the drywall is emitting fumes, causing headaches and respiratory problems, and basically making their homes unlivable. Now, the researchers are speculating that an ingredient in the imported drywall could be causing a chemical reaction that gives off that rotten egg stench. And it gets worse with heat and humidity, which, of course, they have plenty of that in the Southeast, where most of this was used.
Something stinks down there.
Indeed it does. It's a specially designed cardboard box. Costs all of $6 to make and could save poor nations from deforestation. It's called the Kyoto Box. It's named for the Kyoto Climate Change Treaty, and the Kyoto Box is basically a solar cooker just made out of cardboard. Like I said, costs $6
to make. Now, how does this save anybody?
People who live in poor countries that have no outside source of fuel other than wood and kerosene have to actually cut down and use whatever available wood there is, and they tend to actually deforest their own areas, just like on Easter Island.
So this is a cardboard box with essentially tin foil over it and uses solar rays to cook your food?
Yeah, its designers just want a contest and seed money to begin pilot programs to distribute these solar cookers throughout third world nations.
How long does it take to, you know, we've gone camping with these solar cookers. It takes a while. How long does it take to boil a pot of water with a solar cooker?
You know, I actually don't know. I'll have to look that one up and find out.
But it won a contest and it's going to save the world.
You could say that.
Well, you could say I'm dubious, but glad to hear it.
McDonald's has agreed to shareholder demands to find ways to reduce pesticide use in its famous fries, the fast food mega.
Wait. To reduce pesticide use in its fries?
Well, they decided that they were going to stop an outright shareholder rebellion that would have required the company to go completely organic, for example. So they said, all right, we're going to do a a study, and we're going to examine with our suppliers a best practices program.
So this is pesticides that are on the potatoes that they use in their fries. They're not actually adding pesticide to their fries.
Oh, that's true. Yes, that's in case that was unclear to you.
Well,
that
was very misleading. The last thing we need is a lawsuit from McDonald's.
Some studies have found that pesticide residue does stay on certain types of foods and vegetables, potatoes being one of them. So they want to make sure that McDonald's is going to have, you know, as a huge corporation, McDonald's does have the clout to change the course of the potato industry. Doesn't mean that they will, but
they are
it does
like
mean looking
into it. They are like the hugest potato growers in the world, McDonald's.
I wouldn't say that. That's statistically not true.
Really?
Really.
Who is the largest potato grower in the
world? I have no idea.
I think it's McDonald's, but that's just me.
Okay. A college student in Utah crashed the Bush administration's rushed last-minute auction of public lands last December and succeeded in outbidding oil and gas companies for some of the 150,000 acres of public lands for sale. Now, some of those lands were in sight of Utah's famous national parks. Since then, new Interior Secretary Ken Salazar canceled the sales due to allegations of corruptions in the auction. But now the student, Tim DeChristopher, was indicted last week on two felony charges of disrupting the auction anyway.
Well, now, I love the first part of this story. He came in and got into this auction of federal lands and started bidding up the prices, right?
Yes, he did.
Was he planning on actually paying the...
He said that he did not actually have the funds to do so, but since the bidding of the auction was completed, he did raise some funds to put a hold on those lands.
And it drove up the price of the corporations that did buy these federal lands.
Yes, it did. He basically made them all pay more for the lands that they did get, but it doesn't matter now because the whole auction, everything that was done in that auction has been canceled.
Canceled it, and they've indicted this guy.
And they've indicted this kid
anyway.
I
love this kid. He's a hero. What's his name?
His name is Tim DeChristopher, and if you would like to donate to his defense fund, that's bitter70, the number 70.org, and you can also get the links on our website.
Support this guy. Love what he did. All right. Wanted to welcome aboard our new affiliates, Bob Kincaid at Head On Radio Network. We love you guys. Welcome aboard the Green News. Check out our website, greennews.bradblog.com. For much more, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Three minutes past the hour. Brad and Desi are doing a heck of a job with the Green News Report. That will be a Tuesday and Thursday feature here on the Horn. And, you know, we've got a long and illustrious friendship, Brad Friedman and I do. Another one of those friendships where you've never set eyes on a human being, but you get your calls taken and stuff like that. Brad and Desi actually have some hopes of turning that into a five-day-a-week thing. For now, though, it's Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I look forward to Tuesdays and Thursdays for the report. They're doing great work. You can light up the phones if you want to. They're there for you. They are not there for my well-being. Knock yourselves out, 877-443-2366 or 304-658-3333. I was glad to see that Brad and Desi covered the drywall thing, the drywall story. You guys were on top of this as of last week, and shame on me for not getting to the story.
it's another one of those, from my standpoint, bear in mind, from my standpoint, it's another one of those moments that just screams, coal is poison. Because, of course, one of the key components that's ruining people's homes is, everybody, coal fly ash, the same thing that poisoned the rivers in East Tennessee there when, around Kingston. When will the world realize that there's a reason that stuff is far, far underground? It's there because that's where it can't do any damage. But never mind. A couple of other things, just to let you know where my little mind is going. You know, we've talked about the layoffs in the coal fields, and it's happening not just West Virginia, but Eastern Kentucky. It's happening in Virginia. It's happening in Tennessee. It's happening where coal is extracted torturously from the earth. And I got to thinking, would the coal operators deliberately manipulate their own workforce for their own gain? Would they? You tell me. You know, it was a week or so ago that Wayne and I were on the phone talking about the one coal company that said it was rationalizing its workers. Then along comes Massey and lays off 300 people and says that, we did that. We did that because we've already none of mine 95% of the coal that we plan to get in 2009. You think maybe they could have told the people working for them that 6-9 months ago? Oh, wait, 6 or 9 months ago, they were on a coal binge. Worse than any meth binge, worse than any crack binge, worse than any booze binge. They were on a coal binge. Coal's going to be $140 a ton forever. We're all going to be rich. But do you think the coal industry would deliberately manipulate its workers to try to put pressure on President Barack Obama? Yeah, cobwebs, I agree in the chat room. Damn straight they would. What do I mean by this? Well, why not have a preemptive layoff? Why not put 600 workers, 1,000 workers in West Virginia that already has a very narrow margin of employment anyway? Why not put them on the streets? Why not just say, you know what? Let's torture these people and see if we can't get some political good out of it. Are you with me yet? You know where I'm going? Preemptive layoffs. Hey, President Obama, look here in West Virginia. We got 9 to 1,000 miners out of work. You sure you really want to do that to them forever? I thought you wanted to be a two-term president. See, the only problem is that West Virginia sort of didn't really vote for President Obama, so I doubt if he's counting on carrying West Virginia in 2012 anyway. But would the coal company do that to someone? Would the coal company be that cold, that cruel, that crass, that calculating? Because after all, I haven't seen a single report yet that indicates that anybody's taken a pay cut at the top. I haven't seen a report that says that any of the executives have been laid off or management. I haven't seen any reports saying that funding to the fringe of coal has been cut. The only thing I've seen is that working people who resisted unionization, working people who thought they did not need a union, working people who said that the union's day was past, working people who said, look here at this 401k I'm a-getting from Massey. I'm going to retire rich. Of course, their 401ks aren't worth so much anymore. And they're not guaranteed pensions, so they are at play in the fields of the high financiers. Those people, those workers, and I'm still that way, two kinds of people in the world, work, them that work, them that don't. Seems pretty easy to me. I feel for them. Even the ones who so gleefully destroyed homes and communities, entire mountain complexes like Kaford, I feel for them. I feel for anyone who is used and abused by corporate America and thrown aside like so much moldy bread. I feel for them. And I feel quite confident in asserting that this is politics. This is not strictly economics. This is using the misery and fear of a father and a mother looking at their children and wondering what next. This wasn't the environmentalists. This is cold, ice cold capitalism being used not as a lever, but as a cudgel, as a blunt instrument on working people and on politicians. And that's where my thinking is. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey, Susan.
These are the companies that, in order to save a few bucks, didn't put the proper safety equipment down in a mine, and when they had a gas explosion in
fire, Aracoma, yeah.
Aracoma. Not to mention the mine in Utah.
Crandall Canyon.
The guys died in that one. All for a buck. You bet your ass they'd do it.
In a minute.
Now, the thing is, that's going to turn around bite them in the ass. Why? Because like the creepazoid coal barons that they are, the only thing they pay attention to is themselves. If they had gotten their fat heads out of their rear ends and taken a look around, they would have noticed the GM is about to go down. 600 or 1,000 coal miners in West Virginia are rounding era compared to the auto industry.
Sadly, yes. I hate to describe anybody as such, but sadly, yes.
And that's not going to help those coal miners, no. But that's what's going to, whose attention, who's going to get the attention?
I know.
Because these guys, they're idiots.
Well, the question is whether or not the people, at least the question in the coal fields, Susan, is whether or not the coal workers will and I'm talking mainly about the non-union ones. Although I have more and more profound problems with the UMWA.
Because they let the mountaintop removers in.
Among other things, and because they didn't have sense enough, their leadership didn't have the sense enough to protect their jobs underground, and lost them to mountain removal.
Because
that's not the union that my grandfather and my great-grandfather fought and bled and died to build, or anybody else's who's got UMWA in their blood.
Just to show you how far I go back, that's not the union that Jock Jablonski died for.
Amen. Yeah. Not at all.
And how many people remember Jock Jablonski?
I know. Exactly.
By the way, did anybody ever go down for his murder?
I can't remember the guy's name now. Yeah, there was a whole bust on it. And it just about wrecked the UMWA. You can argue that the UMWA is still feeling the aftershocks of that whole process. Sadly, I know a lot of retired union miners who have absolutely no regard whatsoever for the UMWA leadership anymore.
Yeah.
And it goes, and it's not just mountaintop removal; it's the way the union was handled in the 80s.
Well,
and laying out that case is something I will leave to them.
Yeah, it's you know how people say, just think of what this country would have been like if Gore had been sworn in as president, as he was elected to have been. Imagine that union if Jock would have lived.
I don't think it would have wound up in the same place. No.
Nope.
So, the question is, how do you get through? Because a lot of by definition, a lot of these are non-union layoffs. How do you explain to them that they have been victimized? How do you explain to working people that they are no longer working people? Not because of anything that anybody outside them did, but because of what their own... You'd have to be around here, I guess, and I'm not trying to gainsay any of your assertions, Susan. You would have to be around here to see the mental abuse that is heaped on people who work for organizations like Massey. And by that I mean, for instance, every summer they throw a big party and they bring in some country music acts and they have free hot dogs for the cheerings and a tilt-a-whirl and a Ferris wheel and it's all. But when the rubber meets the road, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
Nope. In a way, it reminds me to a certain extent of what Walmart does.
Well, very much so. I saw a stunning statistic earlier today since you mentioned Walmart, Susan. The average Walmart worker in the United States earns $2,000 less than the average poverty wage in this nation.
Yep.
Now, I know people can't help go into Walmart. Walmart's business model was to go in and drive everybody else out of business so they could be the only game in town. And there are a lot of places in this country where they are.
Yeah.
And I know people... And I know people hate going in there, but the fact of the matter is, if you're going in there, at least know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Blanche Lincoln from Arkansas. I have no regard whatsoever for this woman anymore. Do you know that she referred to, now I'm not kidding, she referred to what a good citizen Walmart is, and then went so far as to refer to Walmart as one of my corporate constituents.
Oh.
I didn't know there was any such thing.
Blanche, you whore.
Yeah, I didn't know there was any such thing as a corporate constituent. Oh, by the way, the guy that killed Yablonsky was Tony Boyle.
Okay.
Thanks to Nanette for that. She
yeah,
would know.
I remember his name. Yeah. I remember his name vaguely.
$31.4 million a year, I think, the CEO of Walmart makes, while the average worker makes $2,000 below the poverty line.
Yeah. And is told, you want health insurance? Here's how you apply for Medicaid.
There you go. Kids not eating enough. Here's how you apply for food stamps.
Yeah.
Make sure you get the kids on chips.
Yeah, and here are the locations of the food banks.
See, I've got this crazy notion, Susan, that if you're working in this country, health care ought not be an issue.
Food bank. Yeah.
Feeding your family ought not be an issue. This is America, for heaven's sakes.
Well, this is America as we slide down into third world status.
Yeah, the dirty race to the bottom.
Yep.
Cossack asks, well, Bob Kincaid, if you can have corporate personhood, why can't you have corporate constituents? And I guess in the sort of busted mirror world of corporate America, that's entirely true.
Now, the nice people in Bentonville who are running Walmart and the people in West Virginia who are running Massey and all the other coal companies, two dates, 1789 and 1917. When you take away everything, things get ugly. Remember that.
Yeah.
And remember history. It repeats.
Well, but then again, people like Don Blankenship are multi-millionaires, and all they have to do is get on the company jet and fly to the Riviera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what the Tsar thought, too.
And
Louise's.
But he didn't have a Gulfstream 5 or a corporate jet or anything.
Well, yeah, that's true. But the people who are around him should also remember that. Who gets to go with him? Seats on the plane are limited.
As are the parachutes. As are the parachutes.
Yeah. Right, and make sure whoever packed that parachute isn't making $2,000 below the
line. Well, you know, it's like that story. A brain surgeon and a Boy Scout and Don Blankenship were all flying on an airplane one time, and the pilot announced that the plane was going down. And he said, there are only four parachutes, and there's five of us, me, the co-pilot, and you three. And he said, me and the pilot, we're taking two of them. Me and the co-pilot, we're taking two of them. And they took the parachutes and jumped out, and the chutes opened. So that leaves Don Blankenship and the Boy Scout, and the brain surgeon, to figure out who was going down with the plane. And all of a sudden, Don Blankenship pipes up and says, I am the most intelligent coal baron in the world. I get a parachute. And he grabs a bag and jumps out. At which the brain surgeon looks at the little boy and says, son, you take the other one. And he goes, nah, we don't have to. He says, what do you mean? He says, here's a parachute for you, and here's a parachute for me. The most brilliant coal baron in the world just jumped out with my Boy Scout backpack. Couldn't resist.
I shouldn't laugh at that, but it's funny.
Well, that's okay. You heard about the teabagger who was informed that... Most accidents happen within 2 miles of home, so he moved.
Oh, what I want to know...
Wow, that one just went right by. Not even a low-rent chuckle. Tough crowd,
yeah,
I'm telling you.
I've heard that one. What I want to know, has any of these teabaggers been informed exactly what that term means?
You know, they really don't. I mean, they don't watch MSNBC. They don't watch Jon Stewart. They don't talk to the log cabin Republicans who at least are in on the gag. Probably shouldn't say gag.
No, you shouldn't.
And apparently, even among their ranks, there aren't even any good old fashioned fraternity boys.
For those who aren't.
There aren't any online gamers. I mean, there's teabagging and online gaming. Yeah, oh, yeah. And I mean, you know, I know, we all know.
I have to admit, I was rather innocent, so when I heard about it, I Googled it and laughed till I cried.
You know who else was innocent? Agnes was innocent. My darling spouse.
We women tend to be rather sheltered.
Mi esposa bonita was innocent of the meaning of the phrase teabagging. And I clued her in on it last night. This is one of the reasons I love her so much. She blushed. And then I played her the Jon Stewart segment, and then I played her the Rachel Maddow segment, and she cried herself to sleep laughing. She was laughing so hard, her insides were hurting, and the tears were just rolling down her face.
I mean, how could you not laugh? What I can't figure out is somewhere, somebody, some right-winger has got to pick up on that. And, you know, all these gales of laughter coming from the left.
See, that's the problem. I'm not bragging, but my face is at least modestly well-known over in Beckley and so forth. So I can't get away with anything. I have to go tomorrow as a journalist, if I go.
Uh-huh.
So that means that I cannot make my teabaggers of the world unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains and whips.
Well, how are you going to keep a straight face?
And chaps. I can't do that. Something bad would happen, because I'm sure there will be somewhere tucked away in a coat or two, there'll be some guns. This is West Virginia, so I got to play it on the straight. But God, ain't it going to be a challenge? I mean, at the very least, the weather may be kind of crappy, so I'll wear one of my nice 5X beaver felt fedoras, and I will put a card in it that says 10-6. Because in the earliest illustrations of Alice in Wonderland, Alice's Adventures Through the Looking Glass, whatever, the earliest illustrations of the Mad Hatter's Tea Party have the Mad Hatter wearing a top hat with a card in it that says, "Sale this price now 10-6," which stood for 10 shillings 6 pence. Tea Party Day is actually October 6th, 10-6. But as it stands, you know, maybe I can do that little nod to a little bit of satire, but not much beyond that.
Well, what I want to know is, how are you going to keep a straight face?
Well, that's where you chew the insides of your cheek in your mouth. Into hamburger, just kind of, I'm not going to laugh. You know, just like you've eaten a green persimmon and your mouth just kind of puckers up, I'm not going to laugh.
Periodically duck behind a building and bury your face in your hand and go snicker, 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 snicker.
Yeah, because I just wonder how many of them would get it if I said, get out your rusty trombones and blow a note of freedom.
You are just bad. You are really, really bad.
Look, it just, I mean, this is cheap comedy. This is the easy stuff. I mean, this isn't the... This wrote itself. So, Susan, good talking to you, dear.
Well,
by the way, I got to tell you. I was proud to see some news out of the state of Oregon today.
Yep.
Nice to see when government is getting it right. The state of Oregon has filed suit against Oppenheimer Funds. Remember the ads on TV for Oppenheimer Funds? Yeah. I forget what their slogan is. Your key to financial security. The state of Oregon is looking for $36.2 million in damages from Oppenheimer Funds. Oppenheimer Funds was put... Huh?
Because they went out and lost it?
Well, kind of, but they didn't just lose any funds. This is really, really sleazy. Oppenheimer Funds was contracted to manage Oregon's state college savings plan.
Oh, dear.
You know, the ones where, you know, Precious Lumpkin's been born, and you run down to the state treasurer's office or whatever, and you open an account so that you can pay into the account over time, and then Precious Lumpkin, when Precious Lumpkin is 18, can go to Oregon State go Beavers.
Uh-huh.
Or Oregon, go Ducks, or any other state-supported institution of higher learning.
Right. Go Vikings.
Oh, okay. There are Vikings involved? I didn't know there were Vikings involved. Portland State, perhaps?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yay me! But anyway, so the suit was filed in Marion County. And it wants $36.2 million back because Oppenheimer Funds was contracted to do this. And then they turned around and took the money and put it into so-called Oppenheimer Core Bond Fund that last year lost 36% of its value, and this year has lost another 10%, and that Core Bond Fund was actually more like a hedge fund than a bond fund. Because, see, the way it works in America is bonds are supposed to be, you know, just concrete.
Super safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't want to go play on the roulette wheel on Wall Street, then you put your money in bonds. I mean, there's nobody out there that'll say, well, you know, bonds are kind of dodgy right now. No! Unless it turns out to be junk bonds. Or a bond fund that's actually more like a hedge fund. The benchmark index for other bond funds that weren't the Oppenheimer Core Bond Fund, they posted a modest 5% gain for 2008. You know, 5%, when you're around in there, 3 to 5%, what you're doing with money that you've got in bonds is you're just trying to keep up with inflation.
Yeah.
But not Oppenheimer. Oh, no. They had to get out, because we're all, how long, keep an eye on this. You're an Oregonian, you and News Ninja Gene, a couple of the other folks out in Oregon, keep an eye on this story. Wait till you find out that it turns out that Oppenheimer, pumped some money into credit derivative swaps. What do you want to bet?
No bet.
You think it's a sure thing, isn't it?
Damn near a dead certainty.
Lead pipe cinch.
Yep. I refuse to bet any kind of money on a sure thing when the house is holding the money.
There you go. You know, see, that's you're one of those W.C. Fields types. You can't cheat an honest woman.
Well, apparently, the state of Oregon was honest. It just, the problem was, Oppenheimer wasn't.
Right. And so, bless the state of Oregon's heart, they filed this suit on behalf of the families who paid into Precious Lumpkin's college tuition program. It's not on behalf of the state of Oregon. They're doing the right thing by citizens of the state. And you know what? There are moments when I'm just proud of political entities when they do the right dadgum thing. And this is that.
And I bet you Lars Larson is frothing at the mouth.
No, I wouldn't be surprised, but you know what? $36.2 million is what the state's after. Hell, you could take 10% off of Oppenheimer's management and pay that yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Susan, have a great evening, and do keep up with that, would you?
Sure, I will.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
News Ninja Susan out in Oregon. Oregon, home to our News Ninjas, Gene and Susan. And onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob. How are we today?
Brother Albert, we're doing just dandy.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you should never be shocked that an Oppenheimer would act in a dubious way, huh? I mean, I'm not entirely 100% that they're the same as the Diamond People, but I wouldn't be.
Or the hydrogen bomb guy?
Oh, yeah, that was, I don't think.
You know, lo, I am become death, destroyer of worlds. You know, maybe that's their new corporate finance slogan.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It just doesn't stop. I mean, you know, but that, what's corporate finance when you have, you know, the gays getting married and, you know, it just doesn't ever end. Have you, I'm sure you have, you've seen the interviews with the teabaggers, right? Now, I've done a fair share of teabagging in my day. I'll tell you what, I don't think they'd ever hold their own on any kind of online game with me.
Oh, yeah, and best to explain, there is online teabagging as well. And that's like role-playing games when one crouches over one's dead opponent while waiting for the person to respawn into the level.
That's right. First-person shooters, give them a little teabag. It's, you know, it's all part of the game. But, you know,
as in, hey, did you see me teabag that noob?
That's right, exactly. Hex. Anyway, you know, that's kind of, you know, these people, you know, they're throwing these tantrums. You know, I mean, they're literally just like spoiled children. And, you know, they get their, you know, they go to a restaurant, they eat, you know, and anybody who has children knows it's not always easy to get them to, you know, try something that doesn't look exactly the way they expected it to look. You know, you sit there, you know, the way, you know, giving into these people, or, you know, it would be like giving in to a child and saying, you know, they're not going to eat their dinner, but they're going to want dessert. And then, you know, they want dessert, and then they get the dessert, and it's the wrong kind of sprinkles on their ice cream, and they're not going to eat that either. And you just keep saying, oh, okay. You know, they're all outraged. If you did watch their little protest, some guy went up there and started asking them questions, and, you know, and we'll tell you Obama was born in Kenya and everything else.
Oh, Lord, yeah, that's the Cleveland video I saw earlier today. I haven't personally seen the birth certificate.
Well, I haven't personally seen yours either, buddy, so I'm not sure you were born in America.
Amen. Exactly. I mean, not for nothing, you know, who made you an authority? You know, it's like, you know, I mean, just
well, I mean, that's why, for instance, Albert, not to cut you off.
No, certainly.
That's why, within American law, for instance,
mm-hmm.
you go in to try a case, and there are rules involved. There are rules of how you go about doing a case, and there are rules about what constitutes evidence that can be admitted in a case. And one of those rules of evidence is called the business records exception. And it provides that if you get a piece of business record, and by business we mean anything kept in the normal course of operations, the hospital records, the birth certificates, your profit and loss statement for your corporation for the quarter, whatever. If they are appropriately documented by someone saying this is a record kept in the normal course and scope of business of yada yada yada, court goes admitted, and that's all happened.
Well, wait, Bob.
So that these idiots saying, "Why I've seen that they relate? Why is the original still in a vault? Why is the original still in a vault in an island nation that is surrounded by ocean, that's subject to tsunamis, incredible hot weather and volcanoes? Why is the thing in a vault with everyone else's?"
I know. Well, actually, they think if it's in some sort of, I mean, they can.
Oh, yeah, you know these people. They think it's being kept in the Bohemian Grove.
All right, and that's true. You know, I love a good conspiracy, especially if it's, you know, if it's halfway plausible. But, you know, it's like, you know, when you sit there and you think of the level of disconnect that you'd have to have in reality to think that, all right, let's say Obama faked his birth certificate. Well, why was there a birth announcement in the paper of Honolulu 40, you know, on the day, you know, of the
weekend? Trilateral Commission.
And that's exactly where you start getting into. Yeah,
Bilderbergers.
Yeah, see, and then it's like, well, you know, so Bilderbergers. Well, what do you think? The Bushies weren't part of the Bilderbergers?
You know, I think the Bilderbergers are actually behind that nefarious corporate conspiracy plot that's happening in malls across America right now called Build-A-Bear.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they're involved with anything, they're certainly involved with our current financial predicaments. But, you know, because it's all those people, isn't it? But, you know, to sit there and think that something could be manufactured that would, who they think they are, or what they think they're fighting for, or what they think they're being patriots regarding. You know, that's the whole thing of my whole, you know, argument earlier is that, you know, they literally have fantasy land. You know, they, like, these are the people that sit there and cry at, you know, to the wrestlers because what they do to their bodies and, you know, because it's real to me, damn it. You know, they live in a complete and utter fabrication. You know, they sit there and they'll bitch and moan about a $2 trillion budget, but why do you think it's $2 trillion, you fool? You think you can just have a war and all this other stuff and just, you know, not put it on the account? It's like, you know, it's like getting caught for... It's like, I don't even know. It's like, you know, they call these 900 numbers all the time. They get the phone bill and they act like, you know, they get mad at their wife. I don't understand what, I don't understand the whole.
Well, if you'd let me teabag you, I wouldn't have to call them 900 numbers.
See, this is so much fun. This is a whole evening that's been dedicated to Bob Kincaid and the listening and calling audience going, yeah, to the FCC. It's a blast.
It is. Well, heck.
Hey, you want some fun conspiracy, the really loopy stuff, the really, I mean, yummy, chewy, delicious conspiracy stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch this business with Glenn Beck and the Mercury Dime?
Oh, no, I've really been trying to just, he's been getting far much more attention than he actually did.
See, and I'm guilty of that, too, but this is so out there nuts that you can't. You have to point out what passes for mental acuity in this crowd. I mean, this is so out there. I would have far more expected it of Alex Jones than Glenn Beck. But it was Glenn Beck. I think he's trying to raid Alex's audience.
Probably. Yeah. Good kitty.
Oh, that sounds like a good kitty.
She hates Glenn Beck, and she's getting irritated.
Oh, sorry. Well, we'll get past this as quickly as possible. So Glenn Beck goes on the air a few days ago, last week, and offers proof of creeping fascism in America. His evidence, therefore, you know, we talked about rules of evidence and stuff. They don't apply in Beckland.
Mm-hmm.
He offers as evidence the Mercury Dime.
Oh, yeah.
Which was minted during the administration of Democrat Woodrow Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And he does this by trying to deliver a little history lesson, part of which, you know, and that's the fun part of a really good conspiracy theory. It'll have elements of truth to it. It's just like going to watch a magician. You know, there are elements of truth, but then while you're not really sure exactly what's going on, truth becomes something that is absolutely not. So he starts with the Mercury Dime, and he says, see that thing in the middle of the Mercury Dime? Well, way, way, way back in ancient Rome, they had these things called fasces, and it was a bundle of rods wrapped around an axe, and they carried it as a sign of power. And the fasces were adopted by the fascists as their symbol, those rods and axes. And look, America, look. Minted during the administration of Democrat Woodrow Wilson, the Mercury Dime, which also has the fasces on its back. See, America, see. See? DEF, GHI, JKLMNOP? What?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And it turns out the Mercury Dime does have the fasces on it, but the Mercury Dime was minted before fascism was invented. But that's okay in loony right-wing world.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. They love their boogeymen, and that's, you know, that's that whole thing. That's the, you know, their biggest problem is they don't evolve. You know, they refuse to evolve. They're the Uber of Fraggle Rock. You know, they disassociate themselves to the fundamental nature of what we are, and due to that is, but they're, you know, while they'll just dig their heels into any old ground, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter how weak it is or whatever it is. That's why I'm telling you. You know, we go for their guns, boy. Oh boy, oh boy. You'll give them something with, you know, something to sink their teeth into. Oh hell no. I mean, this is actually one of the first times I've agreed with Dianne Feinstein in a very long time. You know, and or ever.
But the thing is, I agree with your premise, and I find myself sort of where Dianne Feinstein is too. However, I do have to point out, Albert, that where the wingnuts are concerned, anything will do. Okay, they don't have to have a real live assault weapons ban introduced in Congress to convince themselves inside their own echo chamber. You ever been in an echo chamber? It just keeps bouncing back at you till you feel like you're going absolutely mad.
Yeah.
Your own words.
Yeah.
And you come out, and the words come out of the echo chamber, and the words that were in the echo chamber are still ringing in your ears. You know, real Nutsville kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have an actual assault weapons ban for them to claim that there is one.
Yeah, I understand.
And it's like this report that came out today. I mean, look at what I said about Michelle Malkin. You know, I wasn't making anything up. That was a quote from her. The word conservative does not appear in this report on right-wing terrorism and right-wing extremism in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't stop Michelle Malkin from saying that it does.
Yeah, but, I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, Michelle Malkin never even got the level of respect that Ann Coulter got. You know, Michelle Malkin is, I mean, she's like, you know, fifth string. She's pathetic, you know. I mean, God, she's just one of those. I don't think anybody listens. Granted, I shouldn't say I don't think anybody, because that's a big, broad statement. You know, I mean, certainly, you know, the 12 people at the, you know, dump your tea in the water, you know, group, you know, sure. Yeah, the freepers of the world, sure. They're freepers, though, Bob. They're freepers. You know, anytime there's a shooting, oh, yeah, but it's liberal, or blah, 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 and then it turns out to be a right-winger, and it's, and tumbleweeds roll off. You know, I mean, it's, you know, these guys are just, you know, they're mad. Yeah, they're out of their minds. They, you know, they still believe weapons of mass destruction. You know, and not for nothing, the whole real, you know, it's like when someone's speaking nonsense like that, you know, there are times where, you know, you got to go to New York a little more. Maybe you go to Washington, D.C. and do some walking. And when you got that guy that's sitting there spouting nonsense, well, you don't stop and talk to him.
See, that's my problem.
Yeah, well, I understand. You know, that's a lot. In a lot of ways, you don't follow that guy. You know, don't let him take you into the alleyway. He's nice. No, he doesn't have any cookies. No. You don't follow that crazy man. You let that crazy man, you know. You know, either get his bearings and gear and, you know, start rolling with the rest of us, or, you know, you let the police come and take his crazy butt away.
Yeah, you know, you noticed I played Green Man for you last night, right?
Yes, you did. Man, yeah. They got a lot of growing to do. And honestly, we, you know, just like we have to make the experience of, you know, being a teen mother as easy as possible, we have to let this transition of this paradigm be as, you know, as easy as possible for them. Sure. I don't even understand why these guys are getting so much attention, because there's, you know,
because it's so loony. It's so.
It is.
You know, you can't. I don't think you and I are fairly verbal people. We're not verbal Kent, but we're pretty verbal keep people. And I don't know about you, but I am challenged. I am beggared to be able to describe how nutty this business is.
Yeah, it's moon bat wing nut crap. It's just nonsense. This is like John Birch 3.0 or something.
Just in the course of talking with you, Albert, I've come up with another brilliant idea. Although it's probably a little too confrontational. You know, part of this whole teabagging experience is that one is supposed to rip open one's little teabag and sprinkle it in water, symbolically. I guess it's kind of like eating the cracker and drinking the grape juice, you know, religiously. But one is supposed to sprinkle one, because, you know, you don't go and ask for a cup of tea, because they're dumping the tea out. So you, and I got to thinking, you know what would be really cool? But it would be too confrontational. We need to take a bucket of coal sludge to this thing in Beckley and invite the tea baggers to dump their tea into that, because we don't have enough clean water in West Virginia to waste it on symbolic protests.
No, that's beautiful. That's awesome. That has to be done. If I lived, in Beckley or near you, that would be done. That's a good one. That's beautiful. I like that.
I have a good, you know, I have 900 ideas a day. 899 of them are absolute trash. Every now and then, though, one bubbles to the surface.
Hey, as long as you do it consistently, it is, you know. they're getting way more attention than they should be.
I just can't imagine there'll be anybody there tomorrow.
But that, you see, and I made this point on Crooks and Liars earlier. It's like, you know, where was Fox News with the concern of the American citizens when there was, you know, 100 orders of magnitude more people in one small city protesting the start of the Iraq invasion, the preemptive war, the war of aggression? When there were more people doing it in one city, and they were doing it worldwide, but there was more than one people doing it in one city that are doing this entire teabagging thing in total, in all cities. To me, that's just so outrageous. You know, that, you know, and I think it's so transparent that I don't think most Americans, even the average American on the street who thinks, you know, Iran is where, you know, Australia is, or one of those kind of guys that just don't know much about the world. I don't think they're falling for it. I don't think those kinds of people will, you know, buy it. It's just one of those things you just go, no way, no way. That's bull crap. You know that thing ain't gonna work. You know that thing's gonna break. It's, you know, like this, these tea parties, and the more fine, the more desperate they get. This is, think about it. They've got nothing, absolutely nothing. They have nothing, and they're running with this. They're running with it. That's all we're talking about it, because that's all they're talking about.
Yeah, well, you know, and again, let's add to their, where were they? I remember in 2006, when there were literally millions upon millions of people, not in one place, as you noted with the inauguration of the illegal Iraq war, but there were millions of people all over this country in several cities who were immigrants, who were demanding that they not be shat upon by the Bush administration. Where was Fox?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, saying that they were all criminals and we should be getting big trucks to round all those people up and, you know, make rounding up the illegals easier. You know, that's the kind of crap they were doing. Yeah, exactly. You know, they act like, oh, it's not the Republicans. Oh, we didn't do it. Well, you know, who was it? It's on Crooks and Liars as well. Neil Cavuto had some British freak, just a freak, on talking about how this is all Obama, all Obama, all Obama, all Obama. It's just outrageous to me. It's just unbelievable the level of disconnect that they have with reality. You know, and it's certainly, by the, when you know, you look at the media, it's willful. You bet your butt it's willful. Who are these people going with this, you know, this tea tax crap? Who are they fighting for? Themselves? I don't think so. It's the same thing that you get from the coal thugs, and they come up and tell you all the bull crap and inane baloney that they tell you there. Yeah, well, they get their little $40,000 a year. That ain't nothing compared to the levels of things that Don Blankenship and the rest of those freaks get. And God only knows how many accounts they have in hidden places around the world. You know, my God, and then the level of damage that it does to the economy that they skimp out paying on. And, you know, if people will sit there and tell you that they support that, you know, it's the same level. You know, they're sitting there fighting for their own death. They're fighting for the right of their master to beat them and whip them. They're ridiculous, you know, but that's, you know, it's like almost a Stockholm syndrome. You know, that's what that is. You know,
I think it's actual.
You know, it has to be. It has to be. I mean, you know, you got the crazies. You know, these guys, you know, they get their sweatpants on crooked and their shirts all in, you know, and this is a woman, you know, and then, you know, their hair looking like, you know, 5 days of nest in it and greasy and, you know, oh, he ain't an American citizen. Oh, no, you know, and I mean, God, I don't even think, you know, Moran sign dude showed up at any of these. I mean... My God, at least he could spell one word right. These people are unbelievable. I mean,
yeah, it didn't say get a Brian Moran.
Yeah. A although I had to look twice. You never know.
No,
you
I don't know. Did you
spell that right? I don't know. It's like nuclear, you know. Oh, you did it again.
N-U-K-Y-U-L, is it an E or a U? R.
Definitely go check it out. Why the world thinks Americans are stupid? You know, and I remember you've seen them, I've seen them. Everybody's listening has probably seen one or two or maybe all of the clips that would be in that little YouTube video. But I'll tell you, you know, you watch them again, it just is shocking. It still is shocking. And honestly, you know, not for nothing, there's no excuse.
And I guess what's frustrating me so much, what frustrates me so much out of this, Albert, you're right, there is no excuse, but here is the excuse. Why the rest of the world thinks we're that way is because those are the people that are put forward to the world. I mean, I can't begin to give breath or life or words to the frustration. And I'm not sitting here. I play and I clown around and have fun and. But we talk about some serious things here, and yet my voice, Guy James's voice, Mark Levine's, John Fox's, Rick Goodner's, Rick Smith's, the Billy Shears's, Lord God, these are, I'll even accept myself from present company. Those are intelligent people.
And they
struggle in the hinterland. I mean, Give me Mike Malloy's brains. I would gladly, what money I have, I would wager. If you sat Flush Flimball down next to Mike Malloy and had him take an IQ test, I know who wins. I know who wins in an IQ contest between Mark Levin or Sean Hannity and Tom Hartman. I don't have to guess. I don't have to speculate. It would be unfair for me to wager on it because the outcome is already predetermined.
Well, certainly. And, you know, but the thing is, it's not, it's not just IQ. It's also EQ. And, I mean, you know that they're all just hopelessly, you know, they have no EQ at all, these people, which is an emotional quotient. They don't have any of that. You know, they have no empathy. They only have their base, their base jerk needs. They're like lobotomized people in a way. You know, they.
Yeah, they're all major in Catch-22 saying, give me eat.
Yeah, well, yeah, and the thing is they go for the lowest common denominator. And not for nothing, Bob, but you know, it's easier to be mediocre. It's easier to not challenge yourself. You know, it's easier to not look like we're talking about olive oil, man. You know, if you don't know things exist, you know, you don't even bother going and looking.
You think that congealed blob of fat is supposed to be in there, just like the little congealed blob of fat inside a can of pork and beans.
Oh, yeah, that's a bonus. That's flavor. You know,
I'm still not over that, if you can't tell.
That'll be with me for a very long time. There's a few of those things that just stay with you. But, you know, when we talk about these people, you know, like, and you to compare yourselves to them, like, you know, I try to tell everybody I know to, you know, certainly listen to the horn and get, you know, you guys listening. And, you know, but the thing is it's, you know, it comes down to an ease of listening, or it comes down to, you know, people just, you know, not even want shutting it down because they all they hear is when they do hear is because who owns these radios and these, you know, these TV channels and all this other stuff, you know, the people with money, and the people with money have an agenda and they want to see a certain story reported, like you pointed out with, you know, and it's not just Fox, it's CNN too. What are they talking about? Alligator in Florida.
Alligator under a car.
Florida? I mean, come on, that's like saying deer was hit in Wisconsin. I mean, give me a break. Give me a freaking break. That's not news. Deer hit in Wisconsin.
There's enough deer hit by cars to make an entire 24-hour cable channel. If I can just get the right backing, by God, I'll get rich.
Yeah, pretty soon it'll be like a race. Local people will wait for their roadkill report and head on out and get some free meat.
Oh my God. And you know, the sponsors would line up.
Yep.
the meat tenderizer people.
The ShamWow deep fryer. And
oh, ShamWow.
With the flavor injectors and all that other stuff. 1995, but wait.
There's more.
You know, and, the thing is, you know, the last 60 years of just the way Americans have been conditioned is really, you know, in my eyes, it's really responsible for why we're sitting here talking about these little things like this. You know, for why people get hung up on such, you know, just ridiculous things, and why people don't even, you know, with the school system is the way it is. Man, I'll tell you what, you know, I know not everybody, you know, can do this or that or have you, but, you know, not for nothing, there is no excuse to not know at least 80% of the countries on a map. There's no excuse. Yeah, sure.
Or maybe just 80 countries.
All right, I'll give you that. All right, I'll give you that. Hey, just 80 countries. I mean, there's no excuse for that kind of stuff. And, you know, that ain't a left or a right-wing thing. That's just a kind of a...
Because, I mean, even if you turn me loose with a map of South America, I will screw up the Uruguays, Para and Ura. I'll screw those up, and the three little countries to the east of Venezuela, I'll screw those up. The redrawn map of Europe is a total loss for me right now. Bangladesh versus Burma, Myanmar. That's gonna devil me.
The islands in the Philippines.
Oh, don't, and Micronesia.
Certainly, and I mean those things are understandable, but Australia.
Yeah, Austria.
I mean, you know, India, Egypt. I mean, you know, there are certain things that Italy. You can't tell where Italy is on the map. It looks like a freaking boot. Come on now. I mean, come on. You know, you don't know where Florida is. You don't know. I mean, you know, so that kind of stuff to me, there's really no.
Yeah, bring it home, because you know what? You, frankly, Albert, and we're beginning to sound just a little bit elitist, I fear.
Yeah, okay.
But you're going to lose that fight on a map of the United States, never mind the world.
Yeah, and just, that's why it's in Florida. I mean, you know, it just...
Do you have any idea the number of people that would be confused by the fact that the two-letter abbreviation for the state of Louisiana is L.A.?
I don't like thinking like that, Bob. I just don't.
I don't like whispering it into the universe's ear any better than you do, but facts is facts, and we are a reality-based radio network.
Yeah, we need to really know if our children's is learning or not.
Yeah, well, you know, if you give a literary test to a child, him or her, you'll find out whether him or her is learning to read.
Man, so did you hear your buddy Tony Perkins get called a...
Norman! Yeah, Tony Perkins.
Oh, boy, he just got...
Called out.
He just got smacked down.
Yeah, he got PWNED.
Oh, yeah, seriously. OMG, WTF. Anyway,
Series.
Yeah, for real. I mean, he just got, you know, plastered. And I forget the pastor's name, but he is in that movie. And if you haven't seen it, most certainly put it on your Netflix queue. For the Bible Tells Me So. It's a must see.
That's Reverend Mel White.
Yeah. He is certainly in that film. And, you know, like, honestly, man, the way they lay it out, I've never seen it make more cohesive sense. I've never seen it more, just putting just a real package.
Oh, know? Yeah. This passage right here. The Bible says nothing about homosexuality, Tony, and it's really important to quit confusing people. Perkins, hey, Mel, nonetheless, I love you. Appreciate you as a human being. White, don't say that. The things you say about gay people lead to destruction, the breakup of families. No, that's not true, Bill. You continue this. We love you, but we hate you. No, I didn't say that. We love you, but we don't want you to have rights. I didn't say that. I've read your material. I've monitored you for 10 years. You've got to get this get off this anti-gay stuff, because they're leaving the churches because they've seen through your fundamentalist stuff. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, slap him around till he's hot and angry and bring him to the table rare.
Yeah, is not. Well, the liberal churches, people are leaving. It's like our numbers are growing. Yeah, 'cause you guys are going to China, you know, and giving people, you're going to, you know, Sumatra when it's a tsunami hit and giving Muslims little pills with crosses on it. Remember that?
Hey.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you guys play some really, really nasty games, and yeah, you make houses and you'll do this and you'll do that, but there's a price for that. And that price is, you know, that you get to spit, you know, your lyric in their ear. You know, and you say, oh, look, see, we're helping you, so we're right. And, oh, you are right. And, you know, and the next thing you know, you got these big armies of, you know, numbers that you can just call 3 million, billion, and, you know, all this other nonsense. But, you know, the reality is this is a real issue. You know, this whole marriage thing and, you know, just equal right. It's an equal rights
issue. It's a 14th Amendment thing.
But they're losing, if not lost. They're even saying they've lost the culture wars. You know, and
but that was said for purposes of stirring them up, Albert. Let's be clear. It's kind of like the layoffs for the coal miners.
But the count's at 9. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I know, and the ref's hand is in the air with 10.
The count's at 9, and they're not even their eyes aren't even open. It's like barely.
New Hampshire's taking it up. Gay marriage legislation will be reintroduced in the New York State Assembly. Governor Patterson has said that's a certainty.
Well, you see, that's the thing. When you have solid ground underneath you, you're eventually going to win. If you can just maintain, okay, it's not easy, but if you can maintain your position, you can stand in your place of power, which means that you have the truth under your feet. You have the facts to back you up. Right? You don't have to sit there and fabricate and fabricate and fabricate and fabricate. And eventually, the ones that fabricate constantly, you know, they're going to get hit with the fatigue. And, you know, what I think you're going to wind up seeing is, you know, they're going to try the same, you know, rule book for a very long time. And it's going to just keep failing and failing and failing.
And see, and at this point, there's some empirical data available. I haven't seen it, but I'm guessing at it. I would guess that there has been no appreciable change in the divorce rate in Massachusetts since gay marriage started happening there. And with that in mind, how, the only thing that is happening in Massachusetts is, as we discussed on the program Friday night, 11-year-old boys are hanging themselves with electrical cords for being taunted for being fags. Okay? I don't think that's because gay people are getting married. Although it didn't stop the right wing from making that argument.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, you know, they laid it out, you know, in that film where I just mentioned, For the Bible Tells Me So. Everybody, if you haven't seen it, watch it. And, or if you know somebody who needs to watch it and you've seen it, send it to them. Anyhow, they laid out, I remember when I grew up and I came out of my own, you know, teenage boy nonsense where you call things fag, you're gay, you know, and teenage boys are going to be teenage boys, you know, WTF, PWN, you know, hacks, you know, and it's just, you know, there's a level of maturity that comes with, you know, teenage boys, and it's pretty much, you know, it's
pretty shallow.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it can't be helped, and why is that? Well, they're growing, they're not secure about themselves, they don't really know anything, and they say, oh, these guys look tough, I'm going to emulate that, and, you know, so we get into this whole psychology of, you know, why we have this thing, but eventually, you know, people like myself and other people that, you know, may have been, you know, in certain ways that maybe they couldn't be proud of on a replay of their lives, but, you know, nonetheless, I'm proud of who I am now. You know, and I'm not who I was then. I am who I am now. I am who I am going to be tomorrow, and I'll be there right now. You know what I mean? So it's like when I remember reading the word, for me, my epiphany in terms of that was reading the word homophobia. To me, it was like saying, what the hell am I scared of? I'm not gay. I'm not attracted to men. So what would I be scared about?
There you go. You
know, so next thing you know, I became friends with a gay man, and he's one of my best friends my whole life. So, you know, at that point. You know, he was honest with himself, he was true, we could talk about anything. Yeah, he had his, you know, he talked about boys like I talked about girls, and, you know, but other than that, it didn't matter.
It was the same conversation, really.
Exactly, exactly.
Same conversation, so, different plumbing.
And exactly, and he wasn't going to use those parts that I would, you know, and he used me as bait, but whatever, it was all fun, and, you know, what have you. But in this film, they lay out a, I think they laid out the real where this comes from. Like, where does this come from? And what it is, you know, it's an emasculation of it's a hatred of women. You know, it's when you sit there and think about what they say, it's a hatred of women. You know, because it is.
No less than the Taliban, no less than the most radical fundamentalist forms of Islam or any other religion on the face of the planet. It is dogmatically enforced misogyny. Because, frankly, there's not a dime's worth of difference between some fundamentalist so-called Christian adhering to women submit unto your husbands and some other religious extremist declaring the religious right to determine how a woman dresses or what she has for dinner or with whom she may be seen in public. Fundamentalism is fundamentalism is fundamentalism is fundamentalism. Sorry, that's our Gertrude Stein moment for the night. Oh, hey, Albert, I've got to run along, brother, but you are on top of it, and I will find that movie.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. You'll love it. All right, Brother Bob.
Take care, brother. Albert.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And I hope we didn't make the cat too crazy. So, quick break, and we come back to your phone calls, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, or 304-658. 3333. If you are on hold, please stay that way. We will come right back to you out of the top of the hour break. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
Oh, honey, picture me upon your knee with tea for two and two for tea. Just me for you and you for me alone. Nobody near us to see us or hear us. No friends or relations on weekend vacations. We won't have it known, dear, that we own a telephone. I'm gonna wake and start to bake a sugar cake for you to take for all the boys to see.
You upon my knee, tea for two and two for tea, me for you and you for me alone. Nobody near us to see us or hear us, no friends or relations on weekend vacations. We won't have it known, dear, on a telephone. Dear,
day will break and I'm gonna wake and start to bake a sugar cake for you to take for all the boys.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
I'm so ashamed.
That song has completely different meaning for me now. Pretend we don't have a telephone. You could rewrite that. John Fox, are you paying attention? Parody alert, parody alert. Pretend we don't have the internet. Teabaggers. Pretend we don't know what teabagging really means. You get the idea. Oy. Doris Day, B for two. We are a wicked lot. There's no doubt about it. Let's go to the phones. Oh, rats. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Yogi Bob. I have ascended up to Horn Mountain once again.
Ah.
And I bring...
Grasshopper, what do you have for us today?
More tablets of enlightenment.
All right.
I believe... I'm going to keep saying this because I want people to be aware of it. I believe Red State has started shooting. That's Kevin Smith's inspired film about Fred Phelps.
Oh, wow.
And fundamentalism in America. So we should expect it probably fall 2010. So it looks like he got the funding, and it looks like he's on track for the next one.
This should be a dandy.
This should be interesting. The other thing I wanted to mention was regarding the well, here's another thing. On the forums, we have I've selected 10 new things that people can look at. Everything from sand art, which I think is pretty awesome. This woman actually does canvases. She uses a canvas of sand on a glass table, and she does live art in front of you.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of videos that she does. But what's really interesting about it is the fact that it's a continuous swirling portrait. So you'll see a lot of images she'll do, and she'll just sway it around, and that will be gone, but she'll morph it into something else.
Wow, kind of like a real-time multicolor etch-a-sketch.
You know what? It is kind of like that. It is like that in a lot of different ways. Regarding the right wing and the Tea Party madness, I would just say the following. A lot of people have been the left and the liberal side has been demonized so much that people will choose to walk the road of madness and insanity.
Don't forget ignorance.
And ignorance. And even intelligent people will walk down that road because they think it's the cool in thing to do. But the one thing I can say about this is the fact that when we're dealing with Tea Party and madness, I heard Tom Hartman talking about we should go down there and with our own signs, and I thought for a minute, and I got a picture of that, and I don't think you want to add to the crowds because, number one, the networks will just use you as...
It will not be reported fairly.
Yeah, and number two, you won't be reported fairly. Exactly.
I mean, it won't be... We won't... The left,
mm-hmm.
whatever that means, will not get the same treatment that the right wing did during the Bush years. By example, what I mean, say you've got 30,000 people protesting the Iraq War. And on some bizarre little godforsaken street corner, you've got six freepers saying, "Support the troops!"
Mm.
Well, what the for-profit media reported during the Bush years was, people supporting both sides of the Iraq War came out today to voice their opinions. Which is anything but honest. I mean, it's like a sin of omission, if you will. It is technically correct, but it is factually utterly wrong.
I tend to agree with that, and I would just say on this last bit of this Tea Party this, I would say that it seems to me that I hold my tongue from talking about it because I don't really want to promote it, and I don't want to get involved with their protests. I'd just rather let them die off.
I know. But I tell you what, I'm a little surprised that Tom suggested going down to one of these things with countersigns. I mean, I've played with the idea of countersigns. You may have heard some of it this evening. But I really think you have to leave this bunch alone. If I go, I will go as a journalist, okay? Not going to, you know, just cover it. Not to, you know, not to counter their arguments or anything. Because the other side of this is that the release of this report on right-wing extremism absolutely has the right wing in a frothing frenzy, David. It truly does. Among other things, I mentioned what Michelle Malkin said. She also called the report an Obama Department of Homeland Security hit job on conservatives. And now you've got a guy on Fox, and I confess, you know, we're giving these people free PR, and there's no such thing as bad PR where these clowns are concerned. But Fox has a guy on air named David Assman. Assman.
Like Kramer.
Yeah, David Assman, Assman. He was heard opining earlier today, I'm looking at the report, and it says, among other things, that the federal government is going to begin gathering information on right-wing extremist activity in the United States. Does that mean they're going to be sending spies to these tea parties?
You know, Drudge has got in the frivolity, too, on his front page, talking about Homeland Security is targeting right-wing radicals. I wish he would have said that same thing about the so-called left-wing radicals.
Yeah, because see, I remember when the Thomas Merton Center of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania,
right,
utterly devoted to nonviolence, David,
mm-hmm,
was spied upon by the Bush administration. I remember, and you know, I'm really not making this stuff up. Look it up. Don't trust me. I remember when the Bush administration, Department of Homeland Security, sent people to spy on PETA protesters outside of Heavenly Ham. No, really. The American Friends Committee, the Quakers, spied on. There was an organization out in Oregon that was actually infiltrated by a Bush administration spy. So, you know, the only way I can respond to the loopy garbage like Fox is to ask, are they assuming that there is no difference between Barack Obama and George Bush? And B, if that is the case, are they finally confessing that George Bush was engaged in domestic spying? I mean, is there a flaw in my reasoning there?
No, I don't think there is. I think what we have a problem with is, I think the real truth is, critical thinking is a painstaking process, in a lot of areas, when it comes to deal with, emotions, time, energy, and, also with the reality that you won't come up with, that much results in terms of actually mattering, or not so much mattering, but it's really, I think what it comes down to is when you have to explain to someone a detailed summary of what's happening in this country and how we have to go about to change it. It's like a game of it's like a game of Advanced Dungeons and Dragons.
No.
You say, okay.
Now here I am without my 8-sided die. So
yeah. You say, okay, here's the dice. All right, and you're the dungeon master. You're the clerk. You're the page. You're the thief, and then you have to explain to everybody. Okay, what's a page? Okay. All right, here's what a page does. And here's, no. As a warrior, you can only do this. You don't have spells. You can't do that.
Right.
And then, you know, it's...
No. The monk does not have a broadsword.
Yeah, man,
I think I just gave myself away in a big way.
Yeah.
Oh, my misspent youth.
Yeah.
Suddenly we understand that D in algebra.
Oh, but, you know, just to segue to that, R.I.P. to the co-creator of Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, true.
A few other things that I wanted to mention. We have a music video that I think people should check out on the forum by this band called Japanese Cartoon. They're like an art punk type of band. Think of like a Damon Albarn type Blur type band. And the video is called Army, and it's about the military. And it's a really clever video, and it's fronted by a guy named Lupe Fiasco, who I consider to be like, this is my new meme for everyone to get into Saul Williams.
I did listen to that interview, by the way.
Wasn't that an awesome interview?
What an incredibly intelligent young man.
Conspiracy Radio, for those people, this is a quick plug for them. This is why I love them. They're able to get the craziest interviews. I don't know how they do it. They actually got an interview of Hillary Clinton. I don't know how they did it, but they have an interview of Hillary Clinton. And then she starts talking about, do you know the definition of a wedgie? I can't make it up. And you listen to it, and you're like, who on her staff told her, you know what you should do? You should call up a radio show called Conspiracy Radio.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's self-defense, David. Maybe you call them before the morning crew in Canada calls you pretending to be the president of France.
Mm.
A la Sarah Palin.
Yeah. A couple other things. Some other articles that I found interesting that people will find, hopefully will find interesting on the forums. There's a new video out with Ray Kurzweil, and I believe it's going to be a 4 parts, and it's on VBS TV. And the first one is... It's explaining his book, The Singularity, which basically is the concept of man and machine morphing. And it's really interesting. And he makes a prediction that man and machine are going to morph by 2045. And he states a brilliant case. So I would really that's a really interesting video to get into. And there will be other parts that will be up as well as soon as they become available. What else? We have... We have a post on the Egypt discovering a necropolis of 4,000-year-old mummies in Fayum, Egypt.
Oh, I read about that. Oh, that's so cool.
I'm trying to find like a nice photo gallery, and I would really like to see some. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see a panoramic type view. If someone would do that, that would be awesome. The other thing. For those people who have been waiting for, in case you, we talked about this earlier, and I had some issues. Well, I'll point out to you. I wrote out a summary, and for some reason I didn't save it. And I was typing it out, and then I hit a send post, and it says, you're not signed in. And it's that kind of stupidity. So I lost one doing that. But tonight I was typing out the summary, so everyone on Horn who don't have the time or feel like they can't catch up, you will be able to catch up in a matter of 5 minutes of reading, less than that. And I've christened it Horn Porch Dialogue. And you can use a tag HPD to search for it. So when you put the word letters HPD, you're going to be able to come. It's going to be able to come up in the search engine. And also, you will start to recognize tags for usernames like Sage Albert, Ninja Susan, Juanita View. These are ones that you will see. And,
oh,
if you want,
cool.
And if you want to search for specific callers. like Luke in Tennessee. So you type in Luke in 10. You'll understand it after a while. And for people who have favorite callers, you'll be able to track them down easier when these summaries start coming fast and furious. Because I plan on doing. I guess I plan on doing them live and having them up as soon as it's over. So,
awesome, awesome, awesome.
So the Tuesday one is just about done. If people want to check it out and see how structure is going to go along with that, and also when we start to mention referencing, like I was talking about what Preston was, someone needs to archive and categorize all of the recommendations he makes because
yeah.
He really does deserve royalties from Amazon. And maybe we can make that happen or something with some type of advertising. Also, another thing I'm going to be doing, which I think is good, is the music that you play. We're also going to have the music selections up there. So if people say...
Okay, maybe might not want to do that.
Maybe no, not so much, no, not the music selections as in download links, but just to tell people what the music selections are.
Yeah.
For example, like Donald Fagen, Doris Day, and what have you. So hopefully when people look at these summaries, this will save you a lot of time. If you have just joined the program, say you just joined the program 3 months from now, you can look back and you can get an idea or a feel of what we've been talking about and common themes that seem to arise in the program.
Oh, and yeah, and by the way, I need to point this out. This is just being sent my way by ELO.
Yes.
She says that I need to tell folks that if they're trying to get into the forum and they're having a hard time registering,
mm-hmm.
if anybody that has any trouble can email her or Lottie, who is also a moderator at the forum. And the email addresses appear on the contact page at headonradionetwork.com. What's going on is that no software is perfect.
Yes.
And most of the registration has been closed down while the bugs are getting worked out.
Oh. Well, I guess people, you can...
But if you shoot an email, they'll make it happen.
Right. These will be posted. The Horn Porch Dialogue... the Horn Porch dialogue summaries will be posted in Head On with Bob Kincaid, and you'll have the date on them, so they'll be specific. And just click on that post, and you'll be able to see what you missed. And hopefully, what I hope to do with this again is not really so no one really misses out on anything. You know the links, you know the information. You may not have heard the conversation, but at least you get the information, you get the links of what we're all talking about, every single subject that we're talking about, that we're mentioning. Like I said, when Preston calls, we'll have all those books, we'll have all the documentaries, all of the magazines.
Yeah, like what Albert mentioned, for the Bible tells me so, that kind of thing.
Exactly, yep. Exactly. That's a good point. I gotta put that on there on the part of the summary.
Yeah, and I can't resist. There's another song coming too.
there's another song coming.
Yeah, you can't let music go to waste. I mean, I think we'll probably play some tonight and some tomorrow, but I got at least one more song coming because it's in me and in the moment.
Well, I just wanted to call in and then give people an update, and you will be able to see these summaries and. Once again, just go to headonradionetwork.com/forum, and you can check out the new posts.
And just for people's edification, I had a little tutorial with John on the phone the other night.
Mm-hmm.
That silly little mashup that I played of the audition audio from the audition audio from the phony National Organization for Marriage ad. He showed me how to put that up on the server and make it available and stuff. So, you know, I am slowly but surely trying to work my way into having a more friendly relationship with the site myself, you know, without channel, you know, because I have to fight constantly against my inner geezer. You know, why can't I make my VCR quit blinking? But I'm learning.
I completely understand in a lot of aspects to technology.
There's so much, and everything has its own unique learning curve. That's my only complaint. Not just, and it's not related to the site itself. It's really that, you know, you got to learn Facebook, you got to learn Twitter. MySpace drove me batty. I wound up giving up on it because it was so busy and so.
Just to segue back to that, that's why you should, if you watch a video like the Ray Kurzweil one up there, when he's talking about singularity and how he believes, as the bell curve continues with technology and as we continue to speed on and, everything starts to rapidly, accelerate, and he believes things will start to, simplify more, on computers because of just the fact of what he's been studying over the past years. He thinks that's what's eventually going to happen. So there is good news if you guys can hang on for living until 2045 when Super Colossus will finally emerge and we'll be able to And we'll be able to go to dinner.
God, by then our computers will be the size of RFID chips. Speaking of which, because I know you follow technology stuff, David,
yeah.
Did you see this rather intriguing story out of the Bay Area in the last couple of days about Bay Area residents losing their internet service?
Yes, I did. I did hear about this. And I also, was this Comcast, by the way?
I think it crossed ISP barriers because what happened, if I read the story correctly, what it represented was an attempt by some nefarious somebody to reverse engineer the network, you know, and I don't mean, you know, somebody's VPN or something. I mean the whole blooming network, so that cables got physically cut at four critical locations. Knocked about 50,000 Bay Area residents off the internet, screwed with their phones, and then slowed the internet down to an absolute crawl for a whole lot of thousands of others, if I read the story again correctly.
Well, you know, that's funny, because that happened in the Atlanta area, too, with Comcast. And that wasn't reported. I don't know if there's a specific story on that, but I was talking to someone on Twitter, and I was telling him, you know, that's interesting, because my problems, I'm having problems with my service, but it has to do with more so bandwidth caps. And
there are issues here. For instance, we have DNS server problems. You know where you go to a web page and it won't load right. You know, it won't load the graphics. Instead, you see those weird little blue boxes and bigger print, almost like your video card's screwed up or something. But it's a DNS server problem because of how the page is loading. I'll have that periodically with no rhyme or reason. I mean, I've seen it on Kentucky.com. I've seen it on Crooks and Liars. And the fine folks at CityNet have been over everything with a fine-tooth comb. We went through. We cleared my DNS cache. You know, the works.
Mm.
And every time it happens, you know, call us immediately and tell us, you know, because they've seen it replicate. And it's not making any sense why it's doing it. So,
you know, for something like regarding on my end, I thought it was more so having to do with they were capping bandwidth. This was a practice. I'm not going to name my service that does this, but
well, no, I know that that's being experimented with as well, David.
Oh, I can. Well, you know, they do it on YouTube, so I would assume they do it with everything.
Well, I mean, YouTube's so persnickety. If you go through and you start thumbing, there's a threshold of comments that you can thumb, and it'll tell you, well, you've thumbed this many comments. Come back later and thumb more. You know, either thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever. Yeah. Well, David, I it's a great conversation. I'm going to roll on if you don't mind, and we'll get
well,
this.
Well, there's one last thing I want to do. I wanted to commend those people. The people going forward with that case in Spain, I did.
Yeah, yes. Oh my God! How can we finish the program? No.
You know what? Maybe you'll have to go into that a little bit more. Also, if you guys, not to plug Tom Hartman's show, but if you go to hour three,
I'll plug it.
If you go to hour three of Tom Hartman's show, he he has an interview with the lawyer and legal scholar Scott Horton, and they talk about this issue a little bit more in depth. And he says that there will be more documents and further information on Thursday. So we should see some, so we should pay attention to what happens in that, with that development. So once again, to wrap up, go to headonradionetwork.com/forum. You'll see the summaries as the Horn Porch Dialogue, and you'll also see new posts. There's about 10 new posts on the forum right now. You'll probably see about 10. I think you'll probably see about 10 more in about another few hours. So there's a lot to look at, and there's lots of stuff to digest, and there's lots of fun to be had. So I look forward to people exploring with us.
Oh, I think it'll be fun.
And with that, on with the show and on with the music and so forth.
Well, David, thank you very much, and thanks for you've come up with some cool ideas as far as the forums are concerned. I hope people will take advantage of it.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. If there are people listening, my point is people, it's time to realize that all of your ideas, they do matter, and you don't know what idea will spark for the horn. So we really should share.
Keep brainstorming. And do it on the forum.
Yes, right. Do it with the forum or, you know, contact Bob. Let's just keep this a seriously progressive and a motivating place. I look forward to more communication and more dialogue with people in the forum, and I hope to see some more new faces.
All right, great, David. Thank you very much.
No problem, Bob. Later.
Later. We got to spend a couple of minutes with the Spain story because that was as frustrating, that was as inspiring as it is frustrating to when we see the Obama administration carrying out or perpetuating Bush administration sleaziness. There's no other word for it. Let me throw something else your way as well. Along with the questions that Albert was asking earlier about, why, who's paying attention, this utterly irrational teabagging nonsense, why is it happening? Well, the answer's out there. The answer's out there the same way that we started taking a look at the mining layoffs earlier in the program. It's manipulation. It is activating people for later use, okay? And in the case of the teabagging stuff, it has absolutely nothing to do with fiscal policy. FreedomWorks is run by former Republican member of Congress, Dick Armey. And they are the heart and soul of this stupidity. But far less stupid is the work that they are doing organizing to make sure that nothing in the way of meaningful health care reform happens in this country. Organizing to make sure that insurance companies continue to have America's sick and dying over a barrel, if you can imagine, if you can even try to get your mind around the twisted, the psychotic, the sociopathic mentality involved with that. FreedomWorks and Army's lobbying firm is knee-deep, neck-deep in money from the insurance industry. They're going to need those teabaggers when it comes time to try to keep Americans from getting some kind of health care reform. And guess what? All those email addresses, they're databased, baby. They are databased. The FreedomWorks is neck-deep in arguing in favor of a continued reliance on fossil fuels. Among other clients of Dick Armey, Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, Prime Minister of the United Arab Emirates, for energy-related issues. Guess where else? We start talking about getting serious about wind, solar. The blast emails will go out from FreedomWorks to all those little willing boobs who went out with their stupid little tea bags to make sure that we can't have clean, green energy in the United States of America because Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum doesn't want it. So understand, these people don't just do things. And things don't just happen in Repiglican world. Yeah, I got to get this out of the way because it's just busting me. Then we'll come back with a few minutes on the prosecution in Spain. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. Wow, this kind of works in with Sheikh Rashid Al Maktoum, too, doesn't it? Not wanting us to have windmills. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. This is Activist Radio.
One wish before we die, and it may sound strange, as if our minds are deranged. Please don't ask us why, beneath the sheltering sky, we have this strange obsession. You have the means in your possession, here we are with you. With you, the young man agreed he would satisfy their needs. So they danced for his pleasure with a joy you could not measure. They wait for him deep dead, the same place every year, beneath the sheltering sky. Across the desert he would fly. Here in the Sahara with you. Here in the Sahara with you. Here in the Sahara with you. Here in the Sahara with you.
Kind of freighted, aren't they? Unintentional meaning in those lyrics as well. The police, tea in the Sahara. No, we should wrap up the program this evening with some discussion of what may very well be coming war crimes indictments for as nasty a gang of thugs as have ever inhabited the halls of power in the United States. Nastier by far than Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Dean Mitchell, that dirty, obviously, admittedly dirty crowd. Dean having somewhat Liddy. Dean having rehabilitated himself. No, we're talking here about Alberto Gonzalez, Jay Bybee, John Yoo, William J. Haynes II, David Addington, and Douglas Feith. The men who made torture possible. The men who made torture happen. The men who forever besmirched the reputation and name of the United States of America with blood, urine, and feces of people no longer able to control themselves through the ordeals to which they were subjected. The Spaniards appear to be very serious about this. A decision was expected today in the Audiencia Nacional in Madrid. The Spaniards, though, as I said, appearing very serious, they're asking that the case be referred to a different judge. Because it's fascinating how this whole case developed. The case developed from the cases of five Spaniards who were accused of terrorism and had been held at Guantanamo. In the course of that prosecution, human rights lawyers then filed a criminal complaint asking the Spanish court to look into charges against the six American lawyers and Bush administration officials whom I named as having countenanced, ordered, and facilitated torture in violation not only of Spanish law, but of U.S. law, the difference being that we will not apply our own law beyond a certain level of power in this country. With that request pending before him, Judge Baltasar Garzón Real, who had been in charge of the investigation, the prosecution of, among other people, Pinochet, a war criminal and human rights abuser, if ever there was one. Baltasar Garzón Real accepted the complaint and referred it to prosecutors. The Spaniards will ask that he be removed from the case. Why? Because it might present a conflict based on the fact that he was initially involved in the prosecution of the five alleged terrorists. Who may be? Don't know. Terrorist or not, however, such a charge does not abrogate the laws binding civilized nations. And some of those laws are with regard to torture and bans upon the same. The case is expected to be transferred to Judge Ismael Moreno. At present, he is investigating kidnapping charges around the CIA's use of facilities as a safe harbor in connection with the seizure of Khalid al-Masri. Who was Khalid al-Masri? Well, among other things, he was not Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. This is all from the reporting done by Scott Horton. Brilliant reporting. Khalid al-Masri was a greengrocer in Germany. Khalid al-Masri was seized and held at various and sundry CIA black sites for about 6 months. So that is where it stands. The Obama administration has proven itself sadly unwilling to pursue the rule of law against these six formerly powerful men. But Spain's not going to take a powder on it. Which means that perhaps, if nothing else, those six men will never be able to leave the territorial confines of the United States. Which means, in fact, that those six horrible men will never be able to sleep peacefully for fear, for wondering that if that's the night, that they're going to have a bag thrown over their head, a diaper strapped on their ass, and be flown to justice in Spain. While I prefer the rule of law, that may itself be some small level of retribution and of punishment. They worked hard, these six did, to make the hell that they created a reality. Scott Horton says the Bush Six labored at length to create a legal black hole in which they could implement their policies safe from the scrutiny of American courts and the American media. Perhaps they achieved much of their objective, but the law of unintended consequences has kicked in. If U.S. courts and prosecutors will not address the matter because of a lack of jurisdiction, foreign courts appear only too happy to step in. If you're the praying type, pray God. Pray God that the Spanish succeed. So that's the program for tonight. Thank you, everybody, for some wonderful conversation, a little bit of jocularity, a little bit of levity along the way with the teabaggers. I don't know yet if I'm going to go tomorrow to cover the event. We shall see. I'm a little bit of a wimp if it's pouring down rain. I'm not going to go and subject what little portable technology I have to the elements. But if it isn't, I may. Thanks for your ongoing support of the Horn and everything the Horn attempts to do. It's always a good time to hit the PayPal button at headonradionetwork.com. If you click there, you will also find the snail mail address if you prefer to work that way. Thanks to Peter Godbold, our IT professional, and an update on our dear friend Larry Sanders. He is going home. He still has a long way to go toward being well or better, but he is going home, and he is getting better. So thanks for all your kind thoughts. Thanks to John Fox, our chief engineer, our webmaster, web designer, musician, and wonderful, multi-talented conversation radio host in his own right. Thanks to the hardest working man in liberal talk, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Everything that happens here happens because of the infrastructure Ben Birch has built with WhiteRoseSociety.org over the course of the last 7 or so years. Thank you to Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. ColeRiverWind.org for their sponsorship of Horn programming. They and you are the reasons that the Horn continues, and the only reasons. They fight upstream for all of us who are downstream. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
show. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Baggers of the world, unite! You have nothing to lose but your strings. Teabaggers, get out your rusty trombones and blow a proud note for freedom. Oh, it is a teabagging kind of day, isn't it? Yeah, you and I, these are the most clueless people. They don't even... They don't, you know, it's another one of those Inigo Montoya moments. I don't think that word, I don't think it means what you think it means. There's a teabagging protest tomorrow in Beckley. I'm strongly inclined to go and see what happens. Take a little video, take a little audio, take a little still photography. Maybe take the fam-damily. And just go see what a bunch of right-winging West Virginia teabaggers looks like. Maybe. So, I mean, do you realize how loopy these people have gotten? You know how they want to save money? You know how they're objecting to the spending of money on the infrastructure and all of that sort of all that stuff that is so 1933, so right wing. Well, guess what? It turns out this teabagging is actually costing us money. 'Cause you see these right wingers. They're all so proud of themselves. They're taking them a tea bag and they're dropping it in their, they're dropping it in an envelope and they're marking it and they're addressing it to their Congress critter, and they're sending it off. And these lumpy little white envelopes keep showing up in congressional offices where people, and you know, I remarked on this a little bit earlier. Washington D.C. takes an attitude toward terrorism